Welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks that don't break the bank. In this podcast, we dig into the exact playbooks that ABM practitioners are using today to get their first ABM program off the ground. We'll dig into how they're using their current tech stack in order to create scrappy programs that rely more on creativity than new technologies. So if you're looking for how to get ABM off the ground in your organization in the next 90 days, let's dive into this episode. Hello, welcome to Scrappy ABM. This is your podcast with practical playbooks. Don't break the bank. There's your host, Mason Cosby. And today I'm joined by Sydney Waterfall, who's the VP of marketing over at Open Brand. Sydney, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I feel like I'm pumped up after that. Let's go.
I am genuinely super stoked because, one, it's been a while since we've caught up. So I was thankful we got a couple minutes before we press record to just catch up because you're doing some really cool things over at Open Brand. And you guys are a vertical specific product. So like clearly running a lot of ABM programs. So I'm excited to dig into some of the things that you guys are building right now and walking through how people can learn from your current programs. So that said, one of the biggest things that we always like to address head on, because ABM often fails because of this reason, which is poor targeting. So as you were thinking about building out an account-based program, I'm curious, like, how did you start to think about actually identifying the specific best customer that you actually wanted to pursue?
Well, one of the things when I was actually interviewing for this role and looking at this company and kind of digging in, would this be a fit? Do I like the market? What's the product? Like going through that whole process, like it was very clear from the beginning, like this is an ABM go-to-market motion, because I wanted to make sure the go-to-market motion that the CEO kind of envisioned and like I could plug into was in my skill set and something that I felt confident that I could run. And I would encourage people to do that, because a lot of times you sign up for a role and you don't really understand what the true go-to-market strategy is of the company. So anyways, I'll get off that soapbox, but that would be a hot tip if anyone is interviewing or looking for something new. Make sure your skill set aligns to the strategy of like where the company's going in the 3 to 5 year mark. So it was very clear. We are vertical specific, so we focus specifically, we're market intelligence, so consumer durable specific. Big market, big brands, but very deep into those brands. So it's very clear from the beginning that it's going to be an ABM, like high touch motion with a land and expand play. That's really our motion. So targeting. This one, I felt like I was very, very lucky. Most orgs, this takes like the longest time, has the most like opinions in there and the most awkward tension type of meeting sometimes when you're going through trying to build an account list. Luckily for us, we used our product data to guide us. So we sell competitive intelligence, market share, and buyer, like consumer behavior information to brands and retailers, AKA we have the data on the brands and the retailers that we can go sell it to. So for us, it was like a little bit of a cheat code, because you can't really argue with the product data. It's very like, here it is. Now, what we did do is we went through the process and we looked at all of the accounts that we have data on. We pulled them in, and then we spent a lot of time on tiering these accounts and being very thoughtful there. So I'll just give you an example. Like on the new logo side, we have a list of 1,000 accounts. So again, we are very targeted, high revenue potential per account versus a large number of accounts. And our premier is like 38 accounts. And our tier one is like 100. So we were very thoughtful in how we tiered. And we tiered based on category, which is our version of industry. So like, are they in power tools or consumer electronics and things like that? And do we have customers that were already seeing value in those? So that was a like kind of a trigger that we would look at. And then we also looked at product and data coverage across all of our product lines of what's the like revenue potential or what's the white space inside this account. And so we use that. We used industry potential, and then we also looked at our current existing business and said, okay, well, what on the churn and retention side are we seeing success with? And so we used like really those three type of levers to like tier and score. And some of the premier accounts that we have are like strategic, like no matter what, they're a strategic account that we want to get in the next 3 years or whatever the time frame is. So that's really how we broke that process down. And it took us about, I would say like 6 to 8 weeks to really nail that list down and get the product data and do the analysis and go back and rejig some things into the different tiers. It was more about where did the accounts fall in the tiers and why, because that's how we're going to spend investment is based on these tiers. And that's how we're going to spend our resources. So we wanted to be pretty tight on that.
I also just genuinely appreciate the breakdown of time frame, because I think a lot of people, when they go to build out their target account list, they like do a meeting and they're like, yeah, that looks good. And then they like just run a program up against that. And it's often just either like a marketing leader and a sales leader, or like, honestly, sometimes just like a marketer and an AE that like get together and they're like, ah, we're just going to do this. And to your point around like retention and churn data, we are finding in our own agency that it's same firmographics from a revenue industry, that kind of stuff. But it's the team structure that is a great indicator of whether we'll be successful with them or not. And we wouldn't have known that unless we had actually looked at churn data. And I just think people are missing that component in the actual development of the ICP. So like, thank you for walking through that.
Yeah, I think too, with Open Brand came together, four companies came together about 2 years ago to create Open Brand. So there's also still some question marks on the churn side, like, okay, well, this churned and it was previously like a different company and blah, blah, blah. But we just literally last week, we re-looked at our target account list and we like rechecked in with it. Even though it's not this like massive, huge list, our VP of sales and I were like, let's just double check and like audit and make sure we are good here when we look at churn and even like renewal. So like what are the no-brainer renewals that people are just signing versus the renewals that take a lot of effort to close maybe. And then two, like we're developing new products and we're expanding our product set. So as we do that, like every 6 months, we need to check in and make sure that these accounts are tiered correctly.
Yeah. Makes total sense. And I just think I worked in an organization which we did a quarterly brand guidelines review, and it was super helpful to just make sure that we were adapting as the market changed. And we have started to implement that for some of our clients with just a quarterly account list review of just markets changed. Are these still the right verticals? Are these still the right accounts? How have things changed based on engagement? And not to just go in and change the list every time. Like that, at that point, you lose the compounding impact of awareness level programming. But to just make sure from a sales outreach perspective that sales is still reaching out to the highest propensity to close accounts right now.
Yeah. Exactly. Especially what's going on just with the economy. And like, if your customers are impacted by that, which some of ours are, like some of our customers have produced products overseas, right? We need to like be very close to that and understand what's going on and get feedback from our current customers to make sure that we're, you know, helping them and meeting them where they're at, but ultimately not like prioritizing our resources and our targeting correctly as we adapt to that.
Yeah. So once you've nailed down the targeting, I'm always curious how people then determine, all right, these are the channels that we're going to go and specifically engage in. So as you were looking at your target account list, how did you determine the right places to show up?
We're still determining that. Spoiler alert. I think one of the questions was like, what advice would you give or whatever? It's like, let's just start simple and clean and start there. So that's really the approach that we took when we were like, hey, we have our target account list. We're going to start running some plays, but we're not going to start overcomplicating this. So our two main channels that we started with were LinkedIn and outbound. So specifically more on the new logo side for outbound. We also have some programs that we support upsell and retention, but most of our like core ABM stuff that we're experimenting with is on the new logo side. So I did an audience analysis and like, I was like, let's just take some small dollars and test the reach and the activity in the accounts on LinkedIn, which you can do pretty easily. You can see over 30 days, like, of the audience size, how many people am I able to reach, aka how many people were active and were we able to actually serve an ad to. And you could do that with like one campaign, not for a lot of cost. So we did that. And our customers are on LinkedIn. They are also on other channels, but I was like, we're going to start with one and we're going to start with outbound. We're going to start with LinkedIn and we're going to start going there. So that's what we decided. And then more recently, we're doing a lot of just customer research and customer conversations. And now I'm starting to ask customers and observe them of like, okay, well, if I were to pull up your phone right now, what are the top five apps that would be your most used? Right. And the reason I'm asking that is I'm trying to understand where are they consuming content outside of like, when you ask someone in a work setting how they consume content, it's a very different answer than what you're going to get if you ask them what apps they use on their phone the most, right? So I'm just trying to poke around and get creative for like, where are we going to go next? But started on LinkedIn, testing different content types, just trying to see the different audiences, also validating the first 2 to 2 months was just validating that our audience was there and engaging in some sort of way. That was like the first 2 months of LinkedIn for us while we were running, you know, trying to stand up some outbound like multi-touch sequences.
Yeah. I love the simplicity of just, hey, we could probably figure out how to build these massive campaigns and programs that engage our audience everywhere that they could possibly potentially be, but maybe just start with what we've got right now and just see how it goes and lean into things that are free or organic. So I think that's always the easiest place to just get started. Easier to get buy-in on things that are free than to say, hey, let's get a $20,000 a month paid budget to get this thing running. So I love that. As you think about the messaging and the actual like content, because no matter what channel you use, the response rates are only as good as what you're actually sending out. Like, how did you actually think about mapping content and ensuring that you actually had good things to offer the buyers?
Yeah. So luckily I've worked with a lot of organizations in my past, specifically on LinkedIn and demand creation side of like, how do you do a mix that is educating the audience, but also trying to get them eventually to convert, right? A mix of that brand and demand. So I kind of started from what I've seen success work with before at other organizations. So one thing is Open Brand is a newer brand name. The data and the technology has been around for a while, but it's a newer brand name. So we need to lean into brand awareness quite a bit and maybe a little bit over indexed than other companies, depending on where you are in the market. So we had one bucket, which is, I call them like problem or product ads. And the reason I always say problem is because normally we want to lead with the problem or the use case in a product-centric way. Basically, with those types of ads and campaigns, I just want people to understand what Open Brand does. Like when someone says, hey, what is Open Brand? I don't know. I have no idea. I want them to just associate competitive intelligence, market intelligence, durables, industry expertise to the brand name. That's the goal with those campaigns. And so we ran about 50% on that kind of pillar of content. And we'd run different versions. We would run some that were more straightforward, one that had more of a campaign theme that was like more designed to stop the scroll. And so we learned a couple of different things there to understand what we're getting more engagement. And then the other side, we produced some just like helpful blog content that's actually a little bit more of like product marketing content. Like I'll give you an example. We sell pricing and promotions data so that you can go into our platform and you can look up what's the daily price and how are promotions changing across any SKU or product that you care about. Likely you're monitoring your competitors, right? And so pricing was a big thing once the new administration came on and tariffs started going on and all these new policies. So we created a blog post that was like, really like, here's five ways you can use data to help your pricing strategies right now. So like, that's an example of more like helpful how-to content, but that's really like top of mind. Here's five key takeaways that you can go implement today or look at your data, whether it's our data or your own point of sale data or different data source. Here's like five ways that you can help your pricing strategy, because right now your pricing teams your hair is probably on fire, you know, because everybody's in the business is, oh my God, what's going on with pricing right now? So that's an example of kind of like a content blog piece that was more of like, here's some quick takeaways. And we tried to do that as much in feed as possible with a scrollable type thing. And then just some basic, we have a big analyst team, which I'm grateful for. We have industry analysts that sit on our research team. And so we also try to also have a pillar of data and insights, like what new nugget of information or like new insight that we could pull from a specific category would be interesting and helpful. And then obviously it shows our data in the background, but we're not really leading with that. We're leading with, hey, did you know for power drills that is happening with market share, or this company's seeing X, Y, and Z, or this retailer is crushing this other retailer because of X, Y, and Z in the specific category. So those are like the three content types. I would say product awareness, brand awareness, you could call it. I like to call it problem. Let's hit the problem. Helpful. How to, or like, how can we enable someone in their role, whether they use our data or not? And then more of like industry, very specific data and insights pillars. Those are the three that we typically map.
I love it. There have been quite a few episodes where I've talked about just the framing of problem content and solution content. And no one buys a solution unless they have a problem. So if they don't know you exist, tell them about their problems they might be experiencing. If they engage, they may have that problem. So like just that simple of an approach is surprisingly effective.
And it's hard to do. Like we're still iterating and we're still learning. And there's so many different use cases between different products or different personas we're going after. But it sounds simple. It's hard to execute the messaging that just like nails the pain point. Like that's so clear. And so that's really like kind of what we're focusing on right now. It's like, how do we really simplify that messaging and not try to tell everybody everything and tell them like one core thing that's in their terms and the way that they talk and try to just really nail that. And that's like a key priority for us, like right now, basically.
Yeah. And not to hit on some jargony buzzwords, but I mean, it's, we've been pretty good about saying like, hey, sales and marketing alignment is a challenge. I don't know that we've done as good of a job sharing the stories of how that shows up. So that's one of the things that we're just like, it's one thing to preach about the problem and saying it super bluntly. It's another thing to illustrate this is how the problem shows up in your organization and here's why it's so hurtful. So that's one of the things that like I think is super hard is to create those succinct stories that resonate versus just like stating the obvious things. Like if sales and marketing aren't on the same page, it's gonna be hard to do a program. Like people know that. They don't know what it looks like.
Attribution's broken. Yeah. Everyone's going to agree with that, you know, but what's next?
So yeah, I couldn't agree more on that front. I'm curious is, and maybe your organization, because they've done a roll up, is more okay with some awareness level programming, but everybody that I generally talk to is like, yeah, we'll do awareness stuff, but like, where are the meetings? So I'm curious, as you're trying to strike that balance of, yes, like we have to build the brand. We know we're a new brand. People may not have heard of us, but we do have goals right now that like I have to deliver on this quarter. So like, how are you guys measuring success in striking that balance?
So we measure like our success, like from an ABM program or even like a pipeline program, like holistically, which I love. I brought a lot of frameworks over that I've worked on at other places into Open Brand, and our executive team is very aligned. We, from the beginning, it's like, we know we're like, ABM approach. We know we're multi-channel. We know it's going to come from all these different things. Like we don't really care how it comes in. We just care it comes in. And so I would say I'm very lucky about that compared to some orgs, but like, how do we tell that story and how do we show here's what we're going to do with this brand awareness and here's how we're going to do it. So in that's what we focused outbound on is try to like, how do we create outbound cadences and how do we leverage our analyst team and our data products to scale like more one-to-one insights versus like just an industry level insight to scale that motion. And we're still really learning there. We're tailoring messaging and how are we going to do, you know, we're testing video outreach now and, you know, a couple other things that we didn't start with, right? So it's like multi-touch on LinkedIn, call, trying to get a little bit more phone heavy than we were, like things like that to drive the urgency there. We also are, one of our big KPIs on a marketing team is just growing hand raisers that coming into the funnel from anywhere. Doesn't have to be paid attributed, just we're growing that number. And so we're okay with having the brand awareness budget a little bit bigger. Also, in our industry, there's not a lot of room to go after on paid search. Like there's not a lot of demand. Like people are not searching market share data for consumer durable software. That's just not, like people don't search that. So there's not a lot of like easy demand to capture, which kind of also helps, like this is how we need to think about this, right? So for example, say, okay, great, we're running ads and we're doing organic programs and like webinars and we're kind of trying to get some content out. Our CEO has been a little bit more active on LinkedIn, not doing full founder brand, but just being active and starting to connect with our target account list and things like that. So luckily, I had to bring on a tool for this, which it's a tool that I really like. It's called Vector. Shout out Vector. So yeah, we are a customer of theirs. And we brought on that tool because I need to know what's going on our website for every target account at the contact level. It's inexcusable at this point that we don't know that. And I can also say, hey, here's our growth in target account website engagement, even though we're not running Google display ads, just trying to get clicks over here. Not at all. We're not even not running Google display, but we could kind of show here's the impact of all this awareness stuff that we're doing over time, regardless of it comes from organic, direct, paid referral. And then I can also say, okay, here's who's seen ads multiple times now. And also maybe had some intent about X term or X competitor. And now I'm sending that to fuel the outbound motion. So it was really more about how do we connect everything together in one ecosystem to justify like the brand versus demand and how many meetings we need to set. So like we have meeting goals, but they're meeting goals and how many opportunities we need to hit, but they're not like how many does marketing need to hit and how many sales needs to hit. It's an organization, which I think is pretty unique.
I'm actually in smaller organizations, we're seeing that more and more. And I want to be super clear. I think it's smaller organizations because it's easier to adapt and change on that side. But I think it just makes more sense because of how generally messy the buyer's journey is. And like at the end of the day, we do want some level of attribution to understand where to invest the next dollar. But if we all hit the goal, like there's no way that it's just marketing. There's no way that it's just BD. There's no way it's just sales. It's kind of a mix of all of it. So I'm super happy to hear just the one meeting goal. That's awesome.
And we just look at target account, how many connects we would have, how many people were sequenced. So like I have a dashboard that we built that looks at across how many, well, we use the HubSpot lead object for this, but I call them like sales triggers. So how many sales triggers were done for target accounts? That includes prospecting. So how many new people were sequenced? How many, and what was the result of that down the funnel? How many scored leads came in from marketing? And then how many hand raisers came in? Also, a scored lead can come in from other sources too. It's not just marketing. Yeah. So those are our three buckets. And then we just see how many of those are coming in every week. What statuses are they coming in and how are they going down? And that's also how we report up to our board as well.
I love it. Last question for you, because I'm sure there have been challenges that have popped up along the way and things that if you could go back knowing what you now know, you would have done a little bit differently. So what's the one thing you wish you had known about building out an ABM program before you started?
One thing? Like, come on.
You can do two or three.
In general, I would say just, again, start simple because then you can kind of iterate really quickly. I think that's one of the reasons we're able to iterate quickly and then get around this whole attribution conundrum is because we're not everywhere. So like, I know where the dollars are going, if they're working or not, and if I need to change them, because I'm not on like seven platforms or whatever. So I would say start simple. A couple of the challenges that unexpectedly, I think were surprises to me, maybe just because I've not been in that side of the game lately, was outbound email deliverability. Like, I feel like I've encorsed myself in outbound now, which is actually really exciting. I think no matter where you are in the org, I think you need to understand, like, how does the whole go-to-market ecosystem work? Just send them an email. Like, that doesn't work anymore. You can't even get through. You're going to get blocked. And your domain health and all these outbound things that we're testing, optimizing for. That was a little bit of a surprise just because I didn't expect that. And now we like, okay, we need to go deal with that and fix that and kind of go there. And the other thing, scaling things that don't scale. So we are starting out doing things that don't scale, like one-to-one account brand level insights for our top tiers. And now I'm like, oh, like how do I use AI and how do I use like workflows to be able to scale this? And honestly, those workflows take a lot more training than I think people give time to. You can't just like create a workflow and have it scale it. It's like, it's taken us a while to like fine tune the training of like potential ChatGPT stuff, custom ChatGPTs that we've built for specific things to help accelerate prospecting and help accelerate insights. They take a while to fine tune. So that's also been like a thing that we've been focusing on.
One, I actually appreciate the fact that you're calling out there are things that are not scalable that are absolutely worth doing. And like, yes, there will be challenges, but also one of the reasons it stands out is because it's very difficult to scale, which as a result breaks through noise. So I love that call out of yes, like do things that are not scalable. It will be difficult to figure out how to scale it, but just do the right things on the front end and figure it out later, I think is super helpful for people. So no, I think that was a great breakdown and just understanding all the channels that are in play. Because the other thing is if you don't understand all the channels, you'll double tap people in multiple ways that have conflicting messages. So somebody might get an ad set and an email that have different messages. And as a result, it confuses. So I love that. Sydney, if you want to find out more about you, where would you point them?
Probably LinkedIn is where I'm most active. So Sydney Waterfall on LinkedIn. I don't think there's another one on there. I'm trying to be more active on there now. I do have a Substack, but like it's gone to the wayside the past couple of months. And maybe I'll resurrect it, to be honest with you. But I would go to LinkedIn. You can find everything there. Shoot me a DM.
I love it. Well, again, Sydney, thank you so much for joining me today. This has been Scrappy ABM, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Scrappy ABM. If you want to do an even deeper dive on building out your ABM program, we're actually hosting our next ABM in a Day workshop on November 13th. It is a full 6 hours digging into all of the reasons ABM programs fail and exactly how to fix them. And I know what you're thinking, 6 hours is a huge time investment. Admittedly, it is, but it's taking 6 hours to ensure you nail the next 6 months of your ABM program. In case you're wondering, is it worth it? The last time we hosted it, we got a 9.3 out of 10 on our content. So I can guarantee this is a worthwhile time investment to ensure you nail your ABM program. So if that sounds like something you'd like to do, go to scrappyabm.com/workshop to register today, and we'll see you on November 13th.